Well, here we are celebrating the Feast of the Epiphany. And I was just saying to a few people before Mass today, I'm kind of holidayed out a little bit. Maybe some of you have experienced that too. But this morning I was sitting in my recliner and I was reflecting on the first reading from the prophet Isaiah. What a beautiful reading it was. So poetic. And I was in a zone, kind of, and enjoying it. And then not too long after, my phone popped up with the news about the United States kidnapping the leader of Venezuela. Oh, how am I going to preach the good news today? I don't know about you, but I find this rather disturbing. And it's something that just keeps pointing to so many things that are chaotic in our world today. And so here we are as people of faith. How do we deal with this? How do we deal with this? Well, then I started to think a little bit about the background for the reading from Isaiah. And he was actually speaking to the people, telling them that they were going to be coming back to Jerusalem, back home after their exile. And he was talking about the glory of God shining not only throughout the city, but would also be alive and shining within the people. And that light, as the people came journeying back from exile, would attract other nations, and all people would be coming together. And even foreigners would be coming and bringing God's people gifts and so on. And so you can imagine that whole idea of, after somebody's been away for a while, welcoming them home. You know, a member of the family maybe who's been in the military or somebody away at college or whatever it might be. So that whole idea of people coming together and coming alive because they are not only at home in their place, but they are at home in their minds and their hearts as well. But, you know, things weren't so rosy when they got back from exile. The country was in a shambles. The economy was in the tank. And the temple was still in ruins, and they had a lot of work on their hands. And you can't tell me that there weren't some conflicts about these Gentiles that they were bringing back with them. So the prophets, you know, at times when they speak a vision, speak a very lofty and idealistic vision. And as Carol Stuhmiller once said, he was an Old Testament scholar, he said the visions that the prophets spoke didn't get carried out always in the time that we thought they should be carried out, but that the vision keeps us moving forward. Something within us keeps inspiring us to say, there will be a time when all of this will come about, a state of shalom, if you will, where everyone is all together, all of our longings are met because we're in the presence of God and the company of our sisters and brothers. And all the, as Bishop Skelba said, and I probably say this way too much, but I love it, what does shalom mean? It means all the pieces of the puzzle fitting together as they should be. Okay. So in the midst of conflict, we can still find hope. You know, I was thinking about that second reading to the Ephesians. It's a letter that scholars have questioned whether Paul actually wrote it or not. But Paul is saying in that letter that Jews and Gentiles are now together. Well, they didn't just all of a sudden open their arms and say, oh, welcome, brothers and sisters. There was a little struggle there. You know, there were differing views of life, differing views of what religion should be, and even maybe differing views about how the Gentiles experienced the presence of Christ through the preaching of Paul and some of the others in the early church. But yet, here we are today, still trying to hold up that vision and not always being successful, are we? We've got a lot of work to do. And I think it's partly because we haven't let the glory of God enter our hearts and shine forth as a believing people. Well, then we've got, of course, the whole gospel message. And Matthew says these foreigners came to worship the Christ child because they saw the star and they followed it. And they came and they found Mary and they found Jesus. And and they were rejoicing. But King Herod threw a little wrench in the whole thing, didn't he? You know, he was worried about what this might mean for him and his power and his authority. And so he decided that he would try to get rid of the new king that these magi had come to worship. So wherever the good news of Jesus was preached after he became an adult, bad news mounted against it, causing conflict. Jesus was not just this nice guy who patted people on the head and said, "Oh, you look a little ill today, I'm going to heal you," and then pushing back the force of evil wherever he saw it. Jesus created controversy by being who he was. He was not only the Messiah, he was not only the one that God had sent, who had been surfaced from the human condition, but he was also a prophet. And prophets pricked consciences at times. They called a spade a spade. "You hypocrites," Jesus would say to the leaders of his Jewish religion. And there were people in Judaism who said, "This man is going to destroy everything. Who does he think he is, this guy from Nazareth?" You know, because nobody knew he was God until after his death and resurrection. So I kind of reconciled within myself that I could still be a person rooted in faith. But as a person who is a follower of Christ, what am I called to do in these chaotic times? That's the question. I'm wondering, would one of you have a suggestion for those of us who have gathered here today? I've got a few things in mind. But let's hear the Spirit speaking in the congregation today, if the Spirit so wishes to be moved to speak. Well, first of all, yes. To do what?
To hold it in prayer.
To hold it in prayer, exactly. That's the first thing that I put down on the paper, prayer. Of course. Where are you, God, in this? You know, and I believe God is at the core, no matter what's going on the surface. Okay. Anybody else? Another? Yes, Mike. Exactly. Find peace. Work for peace. And promote it in our families and in our sphere of influence with our brothers and sisters with whom we might be at odds at times. And to try to bring about that state of shalom, starting right here in our own little sphere, but then going outward and showing an acceptance of people that we don't understand, people who are different from us, and so on. All of us probably have a little bias or a prejudice of some kind in the back of our minds or in our hearts. And I think to challenge ourselves to keep working at that. That doesn't mean we're going to feel all warm and fuzzy toward everybody, but it means we have to try to understand people who differ from us. Another thing that I thought was, some of us are probably called to be prophets, but that's a pretty scary thing because we're called to speak out. We're called to demonstrate. And there will be some demonstrations, I can assure you. You know, Pope Leo, I was going on the phone this afternoon and saying, okay, has Leo spoken out about this latest thing? And he actually had not at that time. However, in December, he was already listening to our president talk about moving in on Venezuela. And he said, the way to solve the problems is not war, but the way to solve problems is dialogue and to have some kind of compassion for the people of Venezuela whose lives will be ruined and destroyed if we do this land grab kind of thing. Now, I guess that's about as political as I should get here. I'm not going to say. But here's what I really think, too. We have to critique what's going on. Know the facts. So I don't have all of the facts about what is going on. I watched a little bit of the TV program today, the news that showed what happened and how it took place and how they took the leader Maduro and his wife and whisked them away in the middle of the night. There were some civilians killed in the midst of that. No Americans were killed. But, you know, we've been torpedoing these boats and killing people that we've labeled as drug runners, whether they were or not, might be another question. So I try not to just do a quick reaction, a knee-jerk reaction, but to critique and to say, let's find out for sure. And let's get after our elected officials to find out for sure what's going on. So even in the midst of all of this, we can be joyful. Because there is a vision that God holds out for us. And that vision holds up a time when we will all gather in peace and all the pieces of the puzzle will be fitting together. Shalom.
Shalom.